Let me go on to a different topic. There was a lot of talk about a Red Scare about 1919. A Red Scare, a Bolshevist scare. Was there any justification for such a scare, Mr. Penner?
Well, perhaps Mr. Pritchard would.
Well, the war was over, and conditions were bad. And even the soldiers' wives were still getting the same allowance that was allowed them at the beginning. That's until we made a noise here in Vancouver through the Trades Council. And
just to answer that question a little further, even the title Red Scare, which is what it was, would suggest an emotional, irrational reaction to what was then, of course, the impact of the Russian Revolution.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the powers that the establishment were thrown into hysteria by the Russian Revolution and by the impact that it had throughout the world. Mm-hmm. Just to show how irrational it was, when as we report in the Stryker's account and in my introduction, when Premier Borden was in Versailles at the peace conference, he received a hysterical telegram from the cabinet, which was left in charge of Sir Thomas White and Arthur Meighen, in which they said, "Bolshevism is sweeping through Canada. Please get the British to station a warship off the coast of Vancouver, and this should have a settling effect on the thing."
They were thinking of Mr. Pritchard in Vancouver, I think.
They were thinking of Mr. Pritchard, and they were thinking, they equated every strike, every demonstration as a communist plot, as a Bolshevik attempt. And also, this continued. You know, I have a document issued by the Department of Labor under nobody's signature, in which, written in August 1920, after the trials are already over, warning the people of Canada that the three most threatening Bolsheviks in Canada are, one, J.S. Woodsworth, two, William Ivins, and three, R.B. Russell. And this was expanded upon by a book that appeared by the ex-chairman of the Political Economy Department of the University of Toronto, a man named James Maber, who said the three most dangerous Bolshevik organizations in Canada are, one, the Methodist Church in its entirety, two, the trade union movement in its entirety, and three, and this is an order of importance, one was the main one, was the Methodist Church, only three was the Communist Party of Canada, which was a very small fledgling organization that had just been founded. So I think that, like all scares, there was an element, a great element of hysteria and irrationality about it.
How long did this last? Until this whole scare died down? Still there?
Well, I just picked up a book that's just been issued, a new book out called The Dilemma of Canadian Socialism by Gerald Kaplan. And he reminds us that when the Cooperative Commonwealth Federation came into existence in 1932 and 33, under the leadership of Woodsworth, R.B. Bennett swore up and down that this was a communist organization and had to be dealt with as such. That was in 1933.